This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Governor-elect Greg Abbott says his focus this coming year as Texas governor will be improving education. Along with that, there's also securing the southern border, cutting taxes, and fixing roads. But education is at top of the list, and Texas education frequently is at the bottom of a list of things like per-student spending on education. We're 46th out of 50, and we're dead last in the percentage of students of residents with high school diplomas. There's no debate that education is critical to the future of Texas. The question is, what are we going to do about it? And we are talking with the man who's got something to say about that, Michael Williams, Commissioner of Education for the state of Texas. If you got a question or a comment for Commissioner Williams, the number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and shoot us a tweet at @tprsource. And Commissioner Williams, thank you so much for joining us.
It is a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
So, you know, in concept, education, not that complicated. You get kids in a room, you get a smart adult in front of them, and for about 9 or 10, 12 years, they tell them everything they need to know, and then they graduate and they go on to good things, right?
Well, obviously those are some of the ingredients, some of the basic ingredients of great learning. But I think great learning obviously does require, you know, high-quality instruction. From teachers who've been prepared to teach, and particularly today, teach in a very, very different classroom than perhaps the kind of classroom they were in themselves.
Right. So how did it get so complicated? We've got all of these metrics, and we got to boil them down and hard to like to figure them out. Like, for example, Texas is now leading the nation in graduation rates, correct?
Correct.
And since some people are saying that does not jive, I see all these other numbers that Texas isn't doing so well in other areas. But here we are with great graduation rates. How do we make that?
I think in large part the reason the graduation rates increased so significantly over the last 15 years is because Texas was the first state in the country to develop its own curriculum standards, first state in the country to develop an assessment system tied to those curriculum standards, and the first state in the country to develop an accountability system that was tied, obviously, to both the curriculum standards and the assessments. And so what Texas said was, we want to measure graduation rates, and we're going to look to see how people are performing. And it's just sort of that old saying that, you know, what you make gets done. And that's in large part what drove the increase in graduation rates. That also drove, quite frankly, the increase in performance for the state in NAEP assessments and ACT and SAT over the course of that last 15-year period.
So when we look at education in Texas and we say, well, look at our graduation rates, they're doing really well, then does that mean problem solved?
No, not at all. One of the things that we have to do is sort of let's applaud what we've done. We've done a good job in terms of increasing graduation rates. ACT scores are the highest they've been at 20.9% on average for the state. SAT scores are the highest they've been. Unfortunately, SAT scores and ACT scores are leveling. But in addition to that, we also have to recognize that the performance of our subpopulations, African-American students and Hispanic students, economically disadvantaged students over the last 15 years has increased, but there's a woefully large difference and disparity between how our African-American Hispanic students are performing compared to their white and upper-income counterparts. So job number one for us has to be closing the achievement gap.
Okay, so give me an overall assessment of how we are doing in Texas with our public education system.
I think we're doing better than we have in the past, but we still have good ways to go.
Okay, and so you talked about closing the achievement gap, particularly among African Americans and our Hispanic students. So what's the point of attack on that?
Well, you mean how do you go about doing it?
Yeah.
Well, I think the first thing is let's go back to who's providing the instruction. And that means we've got to improve what's happening in our education prep programs. That also means that we've got to create in sort of an instructional environment where we can raise high-level instruction, which means, you know, we got to provide professional development and training for our teachers and our curriculum standards. We've got to make sure that kids in education prep programs spend more time, you know, doing field service work. We've got to learn how to better mine the data so we identify where the gaps are with our students. I mean, there's a host of things that we do there in terms of providing greater instruction.
We also hear the word accountability a lot in talking about that. Here in San Antonio, we're paying close attention to what's happening at Dwight Middle School over at South San ISD. And recently, there was a major shakeup announced there because it didn't meet the standards that the TEA had put forth. And so there's going to be what they call a reconstitution of the school. So can you kind of tell me what that means?
Well, there are a couple phases that that schools go through when they're identified as non-performing. Today in Texas, we have about almost 8,600 campuses. About 400-plus campuses have our IR for 1 year, and the school that you mentioned is in the second year of IR. And so part of there are a couple things that you have to do when you've been IR 2 years. One is, as you mentioned, a reconstitution. So that means you go out and identify new teachers to provide instruction for those youngsters. In addition to that, there's going to be the need to provide significantly more professional development and training. There will probably be curriculum and instruction changes that will take place on that campus. And there will be, obviously, the desire to engage parents a whole lot more. So there are many other kinds of things that happen with districts and, I mean, with campuses in that circumstance. But those are several of the things that will happen on that campus.
So Dwight Middle School will be getting additional resources from the state of Texas. Is that right? Is that what you're saying?
I did not mention that. What I mentioned to you were the strategies that will occur. We don't have, you know, what somebody jokingly once said, cash for flunkers kinds of program in the state.
Right. So, I mean, so it will be getting or it won't be getting additional resources from the Texas?
There are not additional resources that are tied to the fact that they're IR for the second year.
Right. So you go in, you tell the 33 teachers and the principal, you got to go. And how does that help the kids in the classroom?
First of all, that's a local decision. That's not a TEA. They get to decide. There's different strategies that a campus goes through in order to meet the turnaround principles. And so that local district is making the decision about reconstituting that campus with new teachers.
Right. Well, there's 475 students who go to that school. Now they're teachers. They don't know if they're going to come back this year. I don't know how motivated they are. They may be sending out resumes. The principal's certainly not coming back. They're going to be there for the next half a year. So we're going to continue talking about that and other issues and regarding to Texas education. The biggest thing we got to talk about in the state of Texas, really critically important. And we're joined by Commissioner Michael Williams, and we invite you to join, and we'll take your calls when we come back from the break. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We also will take your emails at thesource@tpr.org. We'll be back in 1 minute. Stay with us. Listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Coming up in the next half hour, we're going to be talking about Cuba, President Obama's announcement about taking steps towards normalizing relations with Cuba. Right now, we're talking about Texas education, and we've got the man on that with us right now, Commissioner Michael Williams, head of the TEA, Commissioner of Education for the state of Texas. We invite your phone calls. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. So let's go to the phone lines. Kevin has called in. And Kevin, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Well, thank you very much. I'm really delighted that you're having this story. I've been quite frustrated with the public education system, and so let me get right to some points. First, I'd like to say that when we look at graduation rates, we can't really just look at that. We should look at, especially locally, the number of remedial classes that children or that young adults graduate from high school end up when they go to college. I think that you'll find I don't have the statistics in front of me, but I think you'll find that they're ending up taking remedial classes because they're not getting the instruction that they should get in high school. I also want to take a bigger, broader comment that is about the School Board of Education and what they do constantly to the requirements that the teachers need to teach, and specifically the school books. And the requirements that they constantly are changing is based on their own religious conservative, typically, because it's typically more conservatives than liberals. And they're injecting their their conservative opinions rather than taking the opinions of academes. And so I'd really urge the listeners to take a look at what's going on with the School Board of Education, because it's a very quiet, in a way, group that doesn't get enough attention, and they are basically attempting at every stage to hijack the school's textbooks.
Okay, all right, Kevin.
It is weird, though.
All right, let's give the commissioner a chance to react to both of those issues. I know that, Commissioner Williams, you don't get to pick the textbooks. We have an elected board that does with that.
Correct. And it's probably important to recognize that the State Board of Education and the Commissioner of Education, two separate entities as well. But let me go back to the first thing that Kevin mentioned. You know, when we look at our accountability system, particularly in what we call Index 4, which is where we determine whether a campus or a district is producing youngsters that are college and career ready, we look at a number of different metrics other than or in addition to graduation rates. We're looking at how many career tech courses youngsters took, how many kids performed at a certain high level where we know they're college ready on ACT and the SAT and on Algebra 1 and on tests when they take them. So we're looking at any number of metrics. And as a matter of fact, the legislature even added some additional metrics for us to look at in last session. But as it relates to remediation and cause, there's no doubt that certain students do have to be remediated, but even that number has been coming down over about the last decade. And when you look at what is called the TSI, the Texas Success Initiative, that is a test that the Higher Education Coordinating Board was directed to develop to determine if a kid is college ready and can a kid go to college without remediation. And we've seen those numbers increase over the last several years.
But we are seeing students having trouble passing standards for math and language. And so they're going through the schools, and yet they have to take these tests, and they seem to have problems, and they're supposed to be held back. But if we maintain those standards, the graduation rates would not be where they are, right?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Didn't the legislature pass standards for like the STAR test, and kids have to pass that in order to move on to the next grade?
Well, you have to pass them in fifth and eighth grade, correct, in order to move to sixth and ninth.
And then we're seeing that they're not really doing that in numbers that we would hope.
We're still seeing an increase in numbers of students that are passing in the fifth grade and eighth grade and being able to move on.
Okay.
Now, there's no doubt there are certain kids who don't pass in fifth and eighth, and the legislature allows for there to be a committee. So a committee of administrators along with the parents to make a determination if that child can move on.
We're talking with Commissioner Williams, TEA, head of education, Texas. You want to ask a question? The number is 210-614-8980. So in a coming legislative session, there's a lot of anticipation about what's going to be happening with school vouchers, or sometimes called school choice. And so are you part of a conversation about where that is headed?
Not really. I mean, far be it from me to, first of all, to predict what the 181 may or may not do. But I would agree with you that there's likely to be a very vibrant discussion among the legislators about a private school choice initiative here in the state. One thing that I think we all have to remember is that whether it is Milwaukee, whether it's Florida, whether it's Arizona, wherever you've seen school choice programs, you haven't seen take rates being greater than sort of 10%, which means at the end of the day, we're still going to have about 5 million children in Texas public schools that we're going to have to focus on those 5 million children.
So the way I understand vouchers to work is that you assign each child a certain amount of money, and then they can take it where they want. They can take it to a parochial school, they can take it to a charter school, they can take it to a public school. And the idea is that there was going to be more competition, and the quality will follow the money. Is that right?
There are any number of ways to design a voucher plan, and so I wouldn't want to get in front of the legislature. But what you just described could be the general rubric of a voucher plan, correct?
And then there's concerns that by people who support public education is that that would hurt the people who remain in the public schools. That you have a flight of quality.
Be real careful and allow, if the legislature goes down this road, to allow, let's see what that plan looks like before we assign to it that it's going to have some kind of adverse financial impact on traditional public schools, because they haven't designed it yet.
Okay. All right, back to the phone lines. The number is 210-614-8980 if you want to join the conversation, and Marty has called in. Hi, Marty. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
I taught public school for more than 20 years, kindergarten being the most recent grade that I taught. In my kindergarten year, 36 weeks, I was expected to present 36 mathematics concepts over the course of a year. There was more emphasis on children rote counting to 100 than understanding what numeration meant. And that is true not only at the kindergarten grade level, but at every grade level. There are far too many concepts in a year for any child to gain mastery. And that is why, as your previous caller referred to, when those kids graduate, they can't take college algebra. They're in remediated classes paying college-level prices for stuff they should have learned in high school but can't because the standards are written completely wrong.
So you want back to the basics, you know, let's not get too fancy, you know, just master the foundation. Is that it?
Well, I maintain that a five-year-old cannot do abstract thinking. In fact, no one under the age of about 12 can do abstractions in the way that's necessary to do things like statistics and probability. So
I think what Marty is saying is that
every grade level.
Okay. All right, Marty, thank you for your question and your comments. Appreciate that. And so, Commissioner Williams.
I think Marty is referring to sort of two different kinds of things. Whether when the State Board of Education developed the curriculum standards for each grade level, whether the concepts that one needs to learn in that grade level are age appropriate. The other thing that I think that she's referring to is, are there just so many concepts that one has to pack into a school year? Whether can a teacher actually teach that to a kid in the 9 months that the teacher has that youngster, and can the youngster learn it in that period? So there's sort of two different concepts in which the state board is reviewing its TEKS, and they review the TEKS on a regular basis to try to ask that question: are the concepts that we want youngsters to learn age appropriate, and do we have too many or too few that can be fit into a school year?
All right.
There's also probably likely to be a conversation about that by members of the legislature when they arrive on January 13th.
Okay, back to the phones. Rachel's called in. Rachel, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks. I just wanted to highlight what I think is one of the most deceiving facts about the way the data is reported around students that are passing or not passing these state tests, and that is, on the majority of the tests, particularly in middle school, you need less than 50% of the questions correct in order to achieve a passing score. I was an eighth grade math teacher, and students needed somewhere in the 30% range of questions correct in order to pass. And that is what we are saying is meeting standard. And so then the question is, you know, what are these tests even measuring if what you need is a 35% in order to pass and to have met standards.
Okay, Rachel, thank you for your question. Commissioner Williams, in reaction.
Rachel, as an educator, I think I'm sure you are aware that today, in terms of our accountability system, we're in phase one. And we will move to phase two and then ultimately to the final phase, at which time, obviously, youngsters will have to pass more of the questions get more of the questions right in order to pass at the final stage. There's no doubt that, let's say, with Algebra 1 at Phase 1, when you only have to hit past 37%, that makes people real. At the final, but just look at ACT and SAT. Those numbers are somewhere around 55-65%, got past 55-65% in order to get a fairly decent mark on ACT and SAT. We are in the first phase of this new program where the rigor in STAR is considerably higher than the rigor was in tax, and what we're attempting to do is to allow the system to ramp up. But I think you're correct that when you look at it and say, gee whiz, we don't have to pass 37% of the, get 37% of the questions right to get a passing grade, keep in mind we're in phase one. That number is going to ramp up as the system ramps up.
So, Commissioner Williams, you were appointed by Governor Rick Perry, and now we have a new governor coming into office in January. Any word about whether or not you'll be staying on?
I serve at the pleasure of the governor. And my term expires at noon on January 20th, and it will be the decision of the governor-elect whether I stay or not, and we'll allow him to make his decision.
And have you had any conversations with General Abbott?
I've had conversations first of all, I've known General Abbott for 20 years almost, but I've had conversations with the general and the staff with regards to education, and I look forward to having further conversations with him.
So when you came on to as the commissioner of education, some people were saying, hey, this guy doesn't have any education experience. You know, he's with the Railroad Commission, blah, blah, blah. So do you think that in the time that you've had on here as commissioner, almost 2 years, that you've proven that these people, that they need to eat their hat?
Well, I think at the end of the day, one may have misunderstood the nature of the job. This job requires somebody, not necessarily a former superintendent, even though that may be a valuable asset in someone's resume, but it really needs somebody who knows how to ask the right question and the right people to get the right answer. And my background wasn't as devoid of education experience as some had suggested. I'd been an assistant secretary of education at the U.S. Department of Education back in the 1990s.
Well, Commissioner Williams, thank you for joining us. We sure do appreciate you. We appreciate your candor. And thank you. Have a great day.
You guys take care now. Bye-bye.
All right. When we come back from the NPR news break, we're talking about Cuba. This is The Source on KSTX.